I was on the beach. I have forgotten many things in my life, and I'm increasingly maybe forgetting more than I should. But I can assure you of this. I have never, no, never forgotten that moment on the beach when Jesus Christ became my Lord. Never.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings and welcome, everyone. On the program today, Pastor Bill finishes up the 10th chapter of Hebrews with the message, Joy in Joyless Times. In this study, we'll see three primary themes: remember the past, endure in the present, and hope for the future. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. This morning, these verse 32 and following, we close out the last section, or the next to the last section of Hebrews. And what happens now with these verses that we conclude this morning, we move into really the last section of Hebrews, which is incredible because it's all about faith. Amen. And so, but this morning, I want to talk to you about having joy. Or do we even have joy in a joyless world? This world is not a very joyous place, amen? I mean, all you have to do is listen to the news. So we concluded last Sunday, remember, with the last doctrinal section, if you will, in Hebrews. And we also left behind, thankfully, the fourth warning, which is the most severe, I believe, not only in the New Testament, but the entire Bible. And so now with all of those things happening, in verse 32, what the writer does is this. He now comforts and brings assurance to his readers that they are not those who are walking away from Jesus. They're not committing apostasy. And he says they are really the true believers. But now he does something. It's so easy to read verse 32 to the very end of our text and get it, but don't get it. This is really unbelievable, the scriptures we have before us. Because he knows something by the Spirit of God. He has to know what's going on because he's going to tell them to do something. He's saying, I want you now to recall the former things. I want you to go back and I want you to think about when you first met Jesus Christ as Lord. I want you to go back when you walked away from the Levitical priesthood, from the high priest, from the sacrifices, when you said, I'm never going back to the temple again because I know that I am born from above. I'm a new creation in Christ. I want you to go back to that day, those former things. And the reason he's telling them is because they're going to need it. And not only that, we need to look back. It's when we first came to the Lord. You remember our first love, how we loved him, how we were so excited. Oh man, I mean, the moment you met Jesus Christ, your whole life changed. Remember those days? Man, there's nothing better than that. And he's telling them to go back, and he's doing it for now, again, a specific reason. And he starts off in verse 32, and he uses that word, recall, remember, which literally it means not only just remember, but to carefully look back at all the things that the former days when you came to the Lord. And then it says, in which after you were what? Illuminated, you endured a great struggle, a great contest. It's an athletic metaphor, if you will, with sufferings. That's plural. So he said, you remember the former days, loved ones. Remember the day you were born again, the day that you were illuminated. Do you remember that moment? I mean, the day you came to Jesus Christ, it could be in Sunday school, could be in a church, could be a radio program, TV, whatever it was. I was on the beach. I have forgotten many things in my life. And I'm increasingly maybe forgetting more than I should. But I can assure you of this. I have never, no, never forgotten that moment on the beach when Jesus Christ became my Lord. Never. I mean, I knew. I didn't understand anything about being born again. I didn't understand. I never read the Bible. I didn't know there were 66 books in the Bible. I didn't know anything. But I knew one thing. After I had prayed that prayer, I was changed. I was not the same, and I knew that. Amen? Is there a better time than that? I mean, you were in Adam, and now you're out of Adam. I didn't even know that. I didn't know anything about Adam. Do you understand? Except maybe he ate the apple, but that wasn't, you know, that was. Come on. I mean, I had no idea. And that's what he's saying. He said, remember, you're talking about these Jewish believers. The temple is still standing, loved one. Sacrifices are still being offered. He says, do you remember that moment when you were illuminated? Do you remember that day, the day that you offered the last sacrifice at that temple? Do you remember that day that you walked away from shadows and entered into the reality? Do you remember the moment that for the first time in your Jewish life, because of Christ Jesus, you actually entered the Holy of Holies in heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ? He's saying, man, listen, get a grip on that again. Understand that one more time in your life. Why? He says, I want you to recall. I want you to remember how you endured, and look at it, a great struggle with sufferings. Let me give you the definition of endured here. It means, literally means to stand one's ground or remain on the field of battle instead of fleeing or running, and so endure successfully. So the writer, who I believe to be Paul, is saying, guys, listen, all of you, remember how you stayed faithful back then? Remember how you held your ground and you did not give in? And what's happening now is that the writer is calling the Hebrew believers of the first century to, you're going to have to endure another time. Now, I want you to note, as you look at your text this morning, note when the great struggle of sufferings occurred. It didn't occur before they were born again. It occurred after they were born again. Amen? I mean, the writer could have said, don't you remember your baptism when you were baptized into Christ and you were excommunicated not only from your loved ones and all of the Jews in the synagogue and all the rest of it? Remember when you came to Christ, you were rejected by your family, maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe even your own wife or husband, because now you came to Jesus Christ. Question, when you were born again, did you, all of your old buddies, did you lose any? Huh? I lost about 1,000. They didn't like me anymore. Do you understand? Because they weren't my friends. Yeah, because I didn't run with them in the same life of dissipation as they were running. I was changed. I was different. Didn't mean I was perfect, but I was growing in Christ. Amen? Yeah. You know, Jesus told this about when you come to Christ. He said this, do you suppose, in Luke 12:51, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Jesus says, oh, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 will be in one house and they'll be divided. 3 against 2, 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law. Mother-in-law. Against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus said in Luke 21:16, listen carefully, you will be betrayed, and he uses the word, even by parents. Think of that. Your mama, your daddy, you know, and he says, your parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated for my name's sake. I need to ask you a question now, and I'm doing this tenderly. You know, we are supposed to be in a revolution. I don't know what's coming next year. I don't have a clue. But I just read about how when you come to Christ, everybody can turn against you. Amen? So would you say that maybe, just maybe, the American church, I don't know about the other churches in other parts of the world, but the American church, do you think that perhaps we have strayed a little bit away from true biblical worldview? Now, listen. You see, you can listen to stuff today on Christian TV and so forth, and it's almost like when a lot of people are teaching, you know, you receive Jesus and it's the elimination of all your troubles. That's not true. That's when all the troubles begin. That's when you have to put on the armor of God. That's when you realize you're fighting against the evil one, amen? The defeated evil one, huh? That's right. Listen, the American church today, they believe in the prosperity plan of God, but they do not believe in the persecution plan of God. Do you understand? And we better be prepared for that. And if you can't see that's where we're headed in our own nation, you have a problem, okay? I say that in love. I'm not beating you up. I'm saying you need to open your eyes. We are hated more today than we have ever been hated. Now, there are many, many persecution promises in the Bible. You know, I ask this question all the time when I talk about being persecuted to a believer. I say, now listen, let me ask you a question. Do you really want to be like Jesus? Oh, well, you better believe it. I want to be just like Jesus. I say, okay, well, does that mean you want to be treated like Jesus was treated? Do you see what I'm getting at? Because if you really want to be like Jesus, you're really going to be treated like Jesus was treated. Was he loved? Well, some people. Come on, listen. No, what did Jesus tell us? Listen carefully, John 15, 18. I'm talking about having joy in a joyless world, okay? Jesus said, if the world hates you, well, you know it hated me before it hated you. In other words, I'm the spotless, sinless Son of the living God. They hate me. They're going to hate you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, and I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Isn't that a true word? How about this promise from Jesus, John 16, 33. He says this, these things I have spoken unto you that you may have peace. Peace. I like peace. I want his peace. In the world, he says, you will have a lot of fun. No, in the world, you will have tribulation. Well, that's a promise from the lips of Jesus. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then, of course, John, the apostle of love, says, but who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Timothy, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, but all who desired to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You follow me? You want to live like Jesus? The world doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. They don't like seeing Jesus in you, okay? The apostle John, he writes in 1 John 3:13, he says, don't marvel that the world hates you. Marvel means, why are you so surprised? Why would you be surprised if the world hates you? No, listen, but if you're going to be hated for the same reason Jesus was hated. Not because you're a Pharisee, you follow me, and pointing your finger at everybody. No, that's not what it means there. Now listen, look at verse 33. He's talking about, remember, go back and look at what happened to you. He says, remember partly why you were made a what? Spectacle. We get our word, our English word, theater. He says, remember that when you were made a spectacle, and look how, both by reproaches, meaning insults, verbal insults, tribulations, that means physical acts of violent cruelty, loved one, and partly why you became companions, that's koinonia, shared the same thing with those who were treated spitefully and shamefully like you were being treated. They shared in that. Now look, listen carefully. Look when their sufferings here, they were, first of all, they were public, but they were also personal. It says made a spectacle. Again, that we get our word theater. It means to expose publicly. It's like they're in the city that they're in, these first century Jewish believers. Man, they were mocked. They were ridiculed. They were spit upon. They threw food at them and so forth. They treated them horribly. And they were an outcast because they walked away from the temple and the old covenant and all of that. And so they were mocked and ridiculed. He says, but remember in verse 34, you had compassion on me in my chains. That sounds like Paul, doesn't it? And joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods or your possessions. And look why they did it. Knowing that you have a better, enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Now, you see that word plundering? Now, that word literally means forcible confiscation of your property. In other words, whatever you have was taken away by force, which in that day instantly plunged these people, the Jewish believers, into severe poverty. So look at verse 34 again. I want you to catch something. It says, you had compassion on me in my chains, and look at these two words, and joyfully accepted. Can we say that together? Joyfully accepted the plundering, the violent taking, the seizing of all of your possessions. Is that, listen, we got to pause right there because, I mean, surely there must be an error in translation. You know, do you think there may be? No, I went to every Bible I have. There's no error there. It says, look at it. What did they do? They joyfully accepted the plundering, the forcible taking away of their goods. Now, That's when their joy was demonstrated. They were being ripped off, man, and they had joy. And I want you to listen to me now, and I want you to really think. In an instant, let's just look at us. Let's say, for example, here we are in this church service, and you guys, you know, drove a car to get here, didn't you? Maybe a nice car. Some of you might have a Mercedes. Maybe more than that, that air conditioner. Listen to that Christian music on the way in, rocking out on 820. And you got out of your chairs right now, and we all left together, and all the automobiles were gone, seized, and there's not one thing you can do about it. You try to get to your house, and you go to your house, and all of a sudden you realize it's not your home. And everything that you worked for all of your life, everything you paid for, is gone. And when you arrive at home, you look at the people that are there at that house, and you try to walk in, and they mock you, they ridicule you, they laugh at you as they take your stuff, and they say, "Where's your Jesus now?" They go in and take the ring off your wife, your wedding rings, and go in, and of course your kids fall apart because they take all the video games. And no, I'm serious. I want you to think about that. I mean, your address is now their address. If they stay there, they sleep in your bed. They eat your food. They spend your money. They take everything you have, and they, at the same time, they insult you. They violently beat upon you. They slap your kids around. They kick your wife. Are y'all following me? And when that happened, what would your reaction be? Well, we're Texans, by golly. Yeah. And we all carry guns. I mean, you know, I even got a Glock for the flock. I mean, I understand, you know. But the nearly knocked it out of my, no. Do you understand me? Listen, I had some kids. I have a circular driveway in my house. And these kids, they come through my street 100 miles an hour. And they hit my circular driveway and drive through. And you know, I don't know what it is now, but I don't know if it's because I'm 40, you know, 45. I don't know what it is, but I Becky had to hold me the door. I'm gonna kill those people, you know, in love. No, I would never do it in anger. No, I don't think we are ready for this. I don't think that we can stand by. We're not prepared. We're not prepared for anyone to come in here and take everything that you have given to build this place. Amen? Come on, think about it. I want us to be honest because they did something. Man, I read that. They joyfully accepted the plundering of their possessions. I'm going to ask you a question. Will there be a generation in my lifetime, in this nation, that to where we will face a time like this? And I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, and I say this tenderly. This is not a judgmental thing at all. I'm speaking the truth in love, loved one. But listen to me. Would you say that maybe, just maybe, we are living in the most selfish, self-centered church in the history of America? Would you say that we are living right this moment with the most comfortable Christians any time in American history? Yeah. We're so selfish. And self-centered. I don't want to do anything but what I want to do. I come to church when I want to come to church. I pray when I want to pray. I give when I want to give. I serve when... You know what I mean. Come on. I'm not beating anybody up. I'm talking to you in love, guys. But I'm saying, man, listen. These guys, those Jewish believers, they were suffering, but they weren't suffering because they were in sin. They were suffering because they were in love with Jesus, and they didn't like it. And that's what's getting ready to happen in our nation as well. And you know, listen, has your joy been plundered? Really, the joy that God has given unto us is supernatural, by the way. Has it been plundered? You know, I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness, that's of the world, okay? In other words, happiness means it happens with a happening. You get happy. You say, "Oh, look what happened to me," you know, and so forth. So it's an event, but it doesn't last. Amen? Somebody can give you a brand new car, keys in the ignition, and, you know, 4 months later, "Oh, I got to wash it. It's dirty." And, "Oh, somebody dented it in my," you know, come on. Come on. "Oh, I got a flat." And, you know, I mean, we're just I don't know. You know, I'm going, dear Lord, you know, listen, happiness comes with an event. Joy is a supernatural possession. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Amen? It's His joy. It's in us. It's in us right this minute. Remember Nehemiah 8:10, what did he say? He said, oh, don't sorrow today. What's wrong with you guys? He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And plus, Jesus has given us His joy. Did you know that? Let me give you the scripture, John 15:11. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That word full in the Greek is pleroo, meaning full to the brim, overflowing. Now, look at verse 34 again. And let's look why they joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods, their possessions. It says, for you had compassion on my chains, the joyfully accepting the plundering of your possessions. Why? Knowing that you have, that's present tense, you have it right now and forever, a better and enduring or everlasting possession for yourselves in heaven. Here's the deal. Why they joyfully accepted it? Because they knew what they had. And that's why Christians today, they need to know what they have too. You know what Paul told the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 3:9? He says this, all things belong to you. All things are yours. The Bible teaches us in Romans that we are co-heirs with Christ. Amen? Everything that God the Father is giving God the Son is going to share equally with all of us. Man, we're not of this world. Heaven is our home. And here's what the deal was. To them, their eternal possession, loved one, was so real, was so better, so superior in their eyes, in their hearts, in their thinking. They didn't have a problem bidding farewell to their material possessions. Why? They knew that no one could take what they have from them. Do you know that? Listen, if you lose it all, if everything is gone, that doesn't describe who you are. Amen? Listen, our citizenship is in heaven. This is not our home. It will never be our home. We have no continuing city here. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners. We are running the race of faith all the way home to heaven. Amen? Yes. And so what did they think? They said this, you can't take anything from me. You know, everything that you have, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Let me give you the scripture. Hebrews 1:10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. Here it comes, verse 11. They will perish. Say that with me. They will perish. But you remain, meaning Jesus, you remain. You're never going to change. Oh, the earth and all the heavens, they're going to fold up like a garment. They're going to grow old. You're going to fold them up like a cloak. And they're going to be changed, but you remain the same. What a picture of this world that we live in. Verse 11 said there in Hebrews, it said, they will perish, heavens, the earth, everything. That means all the material possessions on this planet, are they going to perish? That means all the gold, all the silver, all the Rembrandts, all the Picassos. You follow me? All the Bluebell ice cream, all of it is going to go. You know? It's all going to be gone, loved one. It's because the Word of God is true. And the one who owns everything is going to rule, and His name is Jesus Christ our Lord, and He is the only sure thing you can build your life on, now and then. Amen? Jesus told us this in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth, rust, destroy, thieves break in, steal. Lay up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth, rust, destroys, or thieves, they can't come in, they can't break in at all. They endured, it says, for what was better and everlasting. Why? They trusted the unseen, the unseen. Have you seen Jesus? But you love Jesus. You love someone that you've never seen.
As we close the broadcast today, be encouraged by the hope we have in Christ. The secret of victory was in their faith and patience. Amen? Pastor completes this message on our Monday program, and we look forward to seeing you then. Thank you for listening, and have a safe and restful weekend. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.